Weekly conference call on this August 17, 2017. This is Peyman Mottahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School and your host for this weekly program. You can find Freedom Law School on the internet at livefreenow.org. livefreenow.org, and you will find a host of free educational information on how to live free of oppressive taxation and control at livefreenow.org. You'll find an organization that's been around for over 20 years. That's right, folks. Freedom Law School is the oldest, most successful tax honesty freedom law group in the entire history of the tax honesty movement since World War II. That's right. No other organization been as long around and as successful to beat the IRS as Freedom Law School, exposing the lies and the corruption of the IRS, the Federal Reserve, the banking system, the loss of our rights by deep state of criminal banksters, politicians, corporations, bureaucrats, and judges who've tried very hard and have reduced you, the average American, to mere slaves. That's right, folks. We've been turned into slaves, and it's about time for us to free ourselves from these criminal gangsters. We have an outsider president in the White House, not a corrupt Republican, not a corrupt Democrat, not a Clinton, Obama, Bush, McCain, Lindsey Graham, crooked warmongers, an outsider, Donald Trump, and as you can see, the entire establishment is ganging up on this outsider who is here to clean up the sewer of the corrupt Washington, D.C. political corruption money machine. Freedom Law School is a source, a key source of education, information, and empowerment for you to have you live free of oppressive taxation and control now. That is why our website is livefreenow.org. Because Freedom Law School is dedicated to educating and assisting and helping those of you who are serious about living free, who believe America was created and meant to be a free country, for you to live free once again, and for us all to work and coordinate together like the founding fathers of America to have America be a free country once again. Every week I cover a topic of education, then I will answer your freedom questions. Tonight I will talk about to avoid the most common mistake that most people that don't file 1040 income tax confession forms don't make that same mistake. The number one mistake of people who don't file 1040 income tax confession forms. What is it? So you can avoid it. It's very important, folks. But first, let me remind you, the Freedom Law School says that there is no law that requires the average American like you or me to file and pay the federal income tax. It's a huge scam. It's a fraud. It's a lie to turn America into slaves. The whole income tax amendment, the 16th Amendment, was created not to tax the average man's wages and labor and working for himself. No way. The intent was to tax his rich people, the super rich, the banks, the corporations. That was the intent of the people who drafted and wrote the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So your labor, whether you work for yourself, small business owner, or wage earner salaried, was not, and still is not legally, the object of the income tax, and the Supreme Court said so clearly about 100 years ago in several different decisions. But the deep state, the crooks who work with the big banks and corporations, because they are the ones that pay for their advertising, election campaign of criminals like Clinton, Obama, Bush, McCain, Romney. Those guys own the judges too. That's why they went against Trump when he tried to protect us from foreigners coming into America, invading us. They try to stop them, the crooked judges, in the trial court and courts of appeal. And it took the Supreme Court to stop that nonsense. But they don't want to visit the income tax issue. No, the Supreme Court unfortunately doesn't want to upset the apple cart of this crime be going on in America for over 70 years of ripping off the American people, making us slaves. But I'm going to educate you, folks. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm going to tell you, do not believe me or the government or anybody else on the internet. Freedom Law School is very unique because I show you the law from the government's own website for you to read in plain English language. GPO.gov, government printing office, or House.gov, the House Representatives website. It's all there, folks. You don't have to take my word for anything. That's why IRS, folks, after over 13 years trying to shut Freedom Law School down as an abusive tax shelter promotion, they finally gave up. IRS threw their hands up. They wrote me a letter. It's all about victories at livefreedom.org. They said, you know, we're closing this investigation. Yep, they were very long and hard to try to shut Freedom Law School down, but we're not going to be shut out, folks. We have the First Amendment added to the U.S. Constitution to guarantee that we have the right to express our opinions about the government, about government affairs, expose the corruption, and straighten them out. That's our right and our duty, and we will do it, folks. And that's why they cannot stop me or you. So you want to share this information, folks, with your family members, your friends, co-workers, and anybody you know around, folks, who's got an open mind on Facebook, okay? Email. Facebook is right on the main way to get this stuff out to your friends and educate them about this stuff. And there was a, folks, some of you do not know this, but a professor, a law professor from George Washington Law University in Washington, D.C., about a year ago, attempted to claim Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward, and he failed miserably. Freedom Law School refuted everything he said with IRS codes, with court cases, and you could, it's all embedded in that, and this guy didn't even come back. Even didn't try to come back one more time. I gave him a chance to correct Freedom Law School. And this law professor was a government appellate lawyer that argued cases for the government before the Federal Court of Appeal. Think about that, folks. Top-level lawyer of the government becomes law professor, cannot simply show the law that requires you to file income tax. So many of you have correctly concluded that there's no legal requirements for you to file income tax. But again, we got the deep state, the crooked IRS management, the crooked government lawyers in the U.S. Department of Injustice, U.S. attorneys. And last but not least, the crooked, wimpy, treasonous, treacherous judges who are stepping on their oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution and your rights. Instead, they see themselves as the gatekeepers of the revenue, of the fisc, of the U.S. government. Greatest empires ever existed on the face of the earth. Judges allow themselves to become basically glorified tax collectors rather than enforcing the Constitution. So it's up to us, folks, to get our country back. Support Donald Trump, the forced outsiders to give to the government a long time to clean up that corrupt machine of media, banks, politicians, judges. And folks, I'm excited about 2018. We should have some Donald Trump camp Republicans, get rid of these Lindsey Grahams, you know, crooked Republicans, and get some real representation like we had with President Jackson in the 1830s, who killed the bank of the United States. So anyhow, folks, let's get to the subject of tonight's call. I know many of you have checked out Freedom Law School's website, seen the education material there, are getting our free educational emails. That I'm gonna add to it, folks. I'm gonna add more stuff to that email you will get once a month to, you know, help you understand these things. Although remember, our courses are there, folks, to help you get even more detailed education. If you go our first course called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, the level one course, that thing is 20 hours of audio, 200 pages of paperwork, full of information you want and need to know. It's only $300 for 17 years and with 100% unconditional money back guarantee, free rental. Just pay for shipping and I'll give it to you. Send it back. Send it back. In good shape, I'll give you money back to you because I want you to have this information because this is what you should have been taught coming out of high school that you are not taught. When we were 18, we were turned loose as an adult. Uh-oh, I'm an adult. What are my rights? What do I do if the policeman approaches me and wants to give me a ticket? What do I do if Irish writes me a letter? If a bureaucrat knocks on my door, what do I do? What do I not do? You know, Jack, because we were kept ignorant by the government fool system. The schools, the public schools, teach us nothing about our rights. Worthless 12th grade government class we have. Well, Freedom Law School remedies that problem for you with this course, which is a foundation of all of our courses and all of our freedom packages. Go check out course packages at libfreedom.org. And you have a choice. And all the programs you can start with half or one third down. If you don't have the money for the full price of the course or freedom package, no problem. Put what you get down. Start with a smaller course, smaller package, and move up to the bigger packages as you can. We'll work with you, folks, because the goal of Freedom Law School is freedom, not money. Freedom for you and freedom for all of us Americans. So we work with you on that stuff. Don't worry about the money part. Let's join hands like the founding fathers, to have America be a free country once again. If you're getting harassed by the IRS, Freedom Law School is here to help. Got problems? We're here to help. We have a lot of victories. Check it out on our website. And we have myself and our students beat the IRS. One of our cases was over $4 million of taxes by the IRS was zeroed out. $4.6 million zeroed out. All court documented, proven at livefreedom.org. So, if you figure out there's no law requiring to file income tax, there is a common mistake that great number of non-filers make, great numbers, because they don't know about this very key issue. By the way, when you sign up for our free education, that we sent you, it's covered in there. Our first course, A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1, it's in there too, but I'll tell you here also. And that is, naturally, you just want the government to leave you alone. I mean, after all, their job, the primary job of the government is to protect you from criminals. Inside America and outside. Government was founded to protect your rights, your freedoms. So you just want to be left alone. Most patriots I know are males, not females, and most of them are whites. That's just the way it goes, folks. Okay? So We're just a bunch of macho men. We just want to be left alone. Nobody bothers us. You know, just leave me alone. There's no law requirement to file income tax. Leave me alone. That's fair. Nothing wrong with that. I'm the same way, folks. But guess what? These crooks in government have thought about that and turned the table on us. And what they've done is they put in the law that you have to tell the IRS what your address is. Imagine that, folks. You turn 18 years old and you have to let, there's a law that says you have to let the IRS know what your address is. And if you don't, IRS can just rake the hell out of you. Take, empty out your bank account. Take most of your paycheck. All your commissions. Yeah. Take your home. Because you didn't know that you had to give the IRS your address to receive mail. So the IRS sends you important tax proposal notifications, and you don't get it. When you don't get the tax proposal, which is called a notice of deficiency, you lose your opportunity to charge a tax without paying a tax in full. You see, folks, you didn't know another principle. The crooked courts have said the principle of taxation is you pay first the tax. And then, if it's illegal, unconstitutional, arbitrary, baseless, does not apply to you for whatever other reason you can think of, then you sue to get the tax money back with interest. But you see, too often the taxes are so high, you cannot pay it in full and sue for it back. That's for 99% of Americans, physically impossible. The IRS says you owe them $100,000 or $1 million. You can't pay it? Too bad. You screwed a tattoo, it will take all everything until the tax is paid, then you can sue for your money back. What happened? You didn't get the notice of deficiency in the mail. Why? Because you didn't give the IRS and the address for them to send the notice of deficiency and other important legal documents to you, like collection due process hearing. You might end up in jail if they summons you and they don't serve you, and you end up, you know, going to jail because you didn't get the notice. Things like that can happen over a simple thing of you not letting the IRS know of your address. This problem is unique to non-filers because if you do file a 1040 income tax confession form, you have your name and address there and you sign it under penalty of perjury. So the 1040 income tax confession form, one thing positive that it does do, one thing positive is it updates your address with the IRS. But if you do not file a 1040 income tax confession form and you move, the IRS does not know your address. So they'll send things to the previous address of you, you don't get it, and you lose by default your chance to go to tax court and challenge a tax without paying the IRS anything at all. And to prove that law to you, I'm going to want you to go online right now to on internet, bring your computer, iPad, tablet, smartphone, and type this code section down. 26, and this at number 26, space, USC, space, 6212, 6212. Press enter. See what comes up. By the way, I don't use Google. Nope, don't use Google unless you have to. Okay, Google is censoring the internet. They're taking controversial subject out. I use DuckDuckGo.com. There are the good web search engines instead of Google. Let everybody know, don't use Google if you can not avoid them, okay? So anyhow, for me, the first one is law.cornell.edu, Cornell Law University, has a copy of the law. The second one is a house.gov. I'm going to go there. uscode.house.gov has the law up. Go put your mouse on that tab. Right-click on it or open that link in the new tab. You see right there in front of you, 26 USC, category 26 of the United States Code, which is the federal laws of America. Internal Revenue Code, section 6212. Now let's read that, section A, in general. And I'm going to, folks, cut through all the superfluous language, okay, to get the key point easy to understand, reach for you. I'm going to read it for you. It says, if the secretary, that's the Secretary of Treasury, okay, determines that there is a deficiency, which is shortage, in respect to any tax imposed, blah, 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 he is authorized to send notice of such deficiency or shortage to the taxpayer by certified or registered mail. That's it. Now, they're supposed to send this notice to you of a shortage of tax called a notice of deficiency. A notice that there is a deficiency or shortage. But the IRS, in their regulations, they have interpreted this to be sent to your last known address. That's a key important word you need to understand. It's a word of art, legal word, last known address, which is the last address known IRS they have of you. But you see, the IRS in the regulations, they put in there on their own, they made a law practically that you must notify the IRS of your last known address, either by on your 1040 income tax confession form, or you put a change of address for the post office, and the IRS must check on the database at post office that your change of address, or you must write a letter to the IRS basically clearly telling them that, hey, my address has changed, this is my new address. You should put your name, address, your slave, surveillance number, misnamed social security number. Put it on this so it can find you on the slave numbers on the computer. You see, it's you. There's too many Bob Joneses out there, for example, or Tom Smiths. They don't know which one it is unless you put that slave tracking number on there, slave surveillance number. And when the push comes to shove down the road in the court to challenge the IRS, you have to prove that you give the IRS that change of address on your 1040 confession form, or the letter you wrote to the IRS, or the change of address you put in with the post office. So if you put in a change of address with the post office, keep documentation, proof of that the post office sends you or emails you. Print it out, put it in your physical files, save it on your computer to prove it down the road that you did give the change of address. The post office, that the IRS failed to check the post office's database on your latest updated address. Of course, the best thing is send a letter yourself to the IRS and send it with certified or registered mail, with signature confirmation, the tracking number, and have proof of that. print it out, save it in your files. You could be certified or certified return receipts. But print out, go to USPS.com, put the tracker number on there, and print out that it was delivered to the IRS. Keep the record of all this stuff, folks. Of your letter, the certified green and white slip, have those things in the files. Because down the road with that, you can kick the IRS's butt down to Timbuktu. Because you gave them proper notice and they were lazy, arrogant, taking long coffee breaks, and not do the chain of address. Okay? So, if you have that proof, they're a dead duck. You win. But most patriots do not know this, folks. So they don't do it. So again, the IRS sends a letter to the wrong address and you lose by default. And people come to Freedom Law School. People come to me. Oh, I've got this IRS problem. What happened? They didn't get the letters sometimes because they moved. They didn't know, unfortunately, of this oppressive, wrongful law that puts a burden of proof on you to prove your address. IRS can get your address from the various sources of information they get. I mean, if the IRS comes after you because of a W-2 form someone sent about you or 1099, well, that has your address on it too. They should try to send that through that address too, but no, they don't. They said you have to let them know that. And the IRS does not have to make any second attempts to find you. So this is the most simplest key thing is simply give you address to the IRS, but it does not have to be your home address or work address. No siree. You can get a private mailbox address. You can get a post office address. A friend or relative's address is fine. Just an address is all that is necessary. The official address you choose to give to the IRS to mail documents to you, mail important legal IRS certified letters to you. As long as you do that and have keep record of it, you're in good shape. The IRS can mess up and down the road, you can 2 years, 5 years, 8 years from now, you can bang, hit the IRS over the head. Stop them if they try to take your money. Bank account, paycheck, commissions, anything, home. IRS has to reverse all the taxes and zero out your account because they were lazy. Send that letter to your local place that people send the tax return to or Washington, D.C. Headquarters of the IRS is fine too. The letter can be typed up on your computer, handwritten, hand-printed is fine. If you buy a handwrite or hand printed, make sure it's legible. You can write it hand written, fine, but make sure it's legible, very readable. Because you don't want to kick out your change of address because they say, oh, judge, we got a change of address, but we couldn't read his handwriting. Make sure your handwriting is very readable. Sometimes the IRS sends a letter to you for the change of address, and you can write them back, respond to letter writing, or call them on the 800 number that they have on there. So if the IRS gives that letter to you, you can send a letter back to them, fill it out with the new address, or call them at that 800 number they provide you, tell them, hey, you got my address is this. You know, I got your letter. It says the call number. I'm calling you. And make note of the date that you called, made that call to the IRS for your records. And keep the copy of that letter for your records. Well, that's it, folks. You see, folks, important things to do with the IRS or your right to freedom do not have to be long or complicated. Sometimes it can be very simple things. like this, but very important things that you need to do right. If you don't do it, oh boy. I mean, I knew one person came to me this couple of years ago that I have to do over $1 million from. $1 million, they took it. Then they had to go get the money back. They took them by force, the whole tax. Whether it's $1 million or $100,000 or $10,000, doesn't matter. You want to have your chance to pay the IRS zero and beat them. Okay, and let me tell you something else while I'm at it. I know another reason why most patriots do not do the chain of absence to the IRS is because your patriot expert guru on the internet says you are out of their system. You are out of their jurisdiction. You did not sign their adhesion contracts. You are not a U.S. citizen. You are a national, American national, or a state citizen, or sovereign. Or you don't play under statutory courts. You're back under common law. You claim you're a straw man, your redemption for value. You don't use zip code on you, but you're out of the jurisdiction, out of the system. Somehow you are not a taxpayer. That taxpayers only go to tax court. Tax court is for taxpayers. False. Taxpayers for everybody. You see, there's another IRS code section you need to know. It's section 7214. Go on your computer again. Put in 26 space, USC 7214. They have the right one in there. Let me check it out. I forget about these code sections myself, and I have all memorized because they're, they're such long numbers. But there's IRS anti-injunction law, which says that you cannot go to court. IRS code section 7421. There we go. I got it. So type in 26 space USC space 7421. That's a number. Okay, and then you get the corner law school link comes up, but I like to go down to the house.gov. Okay, but if you get corner law school or gpo.gov, that's fine. You can go to those. Okay, put your mouse on that response that came up and open that link in a new tab. Okay. And that says prohibition of suits to restrain assessment or collection. What does that mean? That means you're prohibited from bringing lawsuits to any way restrain, slow down, or stop the assessment, which is evaluation, determination of a tax, or collection of a tax. And it says, except as provided in sections, there's about a dozen code sections listed there. No suit or lawsuit for the purpose of restraining the assessment or collection of any tax shall be maintained in any court by any person, whether or not such person is a person against whom such tax was assessed. See, it doesn't matter if you're the wrong guy, even. You could not stop the IRS from determining, assessing tax on you, or collecting, stealing your money by law, except under these provisions, these code sections listed there. So it doesn't matter if you call yourself or think you're a non-taxpayer. Doesn't matter if you truly are a non-taxpayer. They can take your money. Exit with these sections. And look at these sections. The second and third ones are 6212A, which I just read to you, and 6213A, which gives you the right to go to tax court and challenge the IRS without paying the IRS anything. That's right. So you ought to exercise these procedural rights that Congress has given you to stop the IRS from taking your money. without the giving it, you know, and give you a chance to chat out the tax first. Zero out the tax first. Load a tax. Whatever you want to do. All you pay is $60 filing fee with a tax court. That's it. Any postage or printing costs. This is very important. You Congress of non-taxpayer, sovereign, states it as a national U.S., out of their jurisdiction. It doesn't work. It will not work. That's one of the main reasons most of patriot leaders and patriots in America lose to the IRS, because they do not know about this IRS code section, which the Supreme Court has upheld. Yes, the Supreme Court has upheld this section, unfortunately. So you don't have a choice. You have to attach courts. You do not have a better alternative. If you do not go to tax court or a collection due process hearing, then, which you have a chance of that oftentimes, usually also, then you chose by default to pay the tax in full and sue for a refund, which of course you do not want to do. Okay, folks, now we're going to go to answer your questions. Okay, and any freedom question you have about whether it's the IRS, a state income tax agency, traffic tickets, police, government oppression of any kind, Freedom Law School is here to help you understand your situation and what to do. Again, I recommend you get our courses, especially the very first one, which is the foundation of everything else, so that you could do this stuff yourself as much as possible. I have always believed it, folks. To help you, help yourself. Fish for yourself. From 1994, I started teaching. Till 2001, I only help people help themselves. I refer to other organizations or individuals for help. But after 7 years that people asked me, Paymon, I'd like you to help me. I want your help. Get the IRS, these crooks off my back. That's in 2001. I started the Royal Care Package and others to assist you, help you get these guys off your back. I still believe in helping you as much as possible to help yourself. It saves you a lot of money. It's cheaper. And you have peace of mind. Of course, many situations are too complex. Yes, Freedom Law School is there to assist you with that when needed. But your peace of mind is very well worth the little bit of a course. All your CD, these courses are, you listen to them in your car, as you go to work or shopping, okay, or your smartphone, tablet, carry it with you, whatever you're doing. Let it play several times. Okay, so you understand the law and your rights that you should have been taught coming out of high school. Okay, let's go to people with questions. I know some of you are going to raise your hand. If you push one on your telephone pad, folks, that lets me know that you have a question, and I'll be happy to get your question answered. But do me a favor and tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School. Okay, I appreciate you giving us that feedback about Freedom Law School, what's working to reach you. Okay, and then go ahead and ask your question. So let's go to the person calling from area code 2702 in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you have a question, my friend, give your first name for privacy, not your last name, and then go ahead and ask your question. Hello? You there, call from area code 702? Call from Nevada, area code 702. If you have a question, please announce yourself now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had you on mute. I had you on mute.
No problem,
like I'm supposed to.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. Anyway.
That's okay.
I'm Dennis.
What's
I'm
your
Dennis
name?
From Las Vegas. Dennis?
Mm-hmm.
From Las Vegas.
Yes, Dennis.
Uh-huh. I was at your...
And how did you hear about us?
Almost 20 years ago.
20 years ago, you know Freedom Law School. Wow. 1997, when I was doing seminars in Southern California.
Yeah.
Very good, my friend. And how may I assist you tonight, Dennis?
I have a chance to get what the person who has a job calls a government job. I guess I wouldn't call it a government job, but it's sort of like working for the government, except it's a job interviewing people for different government surveys. But I guess to give a strong background check. My question is there any problem? I haven't paid taxes for 20 years.
Okay.
I mean, do you think, but is a background check going to show that? Or, because I can't see how it would, but I just thought I'd ask you to make sure.
No, it doesn't show up. They just make sure you're not a criminal. That's all.
All right. Okay. So be a safe thing to do. Yeah. Okay. That's all I really wanted to know. I mean, I just thought, but I could talk to you for free. So I appreciate what you're doing for us.
But, you're welcome, my friend. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
You're welcome, Dennis. My pleasure. Let's go to our call we have from area code 909. You're welcome, Dennis. Area code 909 in Riverside, California area. If you have a question, please announce yourself. How you heard about Freedom Laws, too, and then your question.
Hi, Dama. This is Al, California. I have a question. If you have a government...
How did you hear about Freedom Law School, Al? How did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I was looking on YouTube and came across Joe Bannister, and down the rabbit hole I went, and you guys showed up also.
Very good, my friend. Go ahead.
Okay.
What's your question, my friend?
If you have a government pension, how do you stop withholding?
Pension? Same way you stop withholding from, if you're a wage earner.
From the retirement system, which they take withholding from. How where I'm at right now is I'm about to send all my elected officials your redress of grievance, and I've already prepared that, and I'm going to attach Joe Bannister's investigation of the IRS report, send it to all my congressmen. Okay, my next step, I'm thinking about having retirement, stop the withholding. So is that the right sequence, or do I just... go for the stop the withholding?
Well, you can stop the withholding by, you can put accept on the before. Okay, you can do it that way. You can also send the copy of the laws that the people subject to withholding are foreigners. Because withholding agents defined on the IRS code section 7701A16. You type on your computer 26. Space USC space 7701, and when that code section comes up, look down to subsection A16, and it defines withholding agent as someone who's supposed to withhold from under these four code sections 1441, 42, 43, and 61. And those sections refer to foreigners basically. You're not a foreigner, you're an American, correct?
Right.
So you're not subject to withholding. Send that to your job. Send that to your Congress. Okay, to Congress members. Send it to senators. Dianne Feinstein, and what's this new feminist chick name? Kamala Harris. And the congressmen, ask, they're the lawmakers, Ask them, show where you're wrong.
Right.
They can show you where you're wrong. So that's what I would do. And then you may have to put exempt on the W-4, but you shouldn't have to. Just confront them with the exact explicit language of the law printed from government's own website at house.gov or gpo.gov. Okay?
Okay, now, I have another question for you, Heyman, and that is, if you are currently, if you last or you filed joint return with your wife, and she doesn't want to go along with this, I can obviously file married but separate, or I mean, she could file married but separate, but would that entangle her, give her problems, or they would all fall on me for not filing?
That's a good question. California is one of a few states that are what's called community property states. Good question. Community property states means half of what you make belongs to your wife and vice versa. So if your wife has a tax issue, they can come after you. And if you have a tax issue, they can come after her. So what you want to do is write a simple agreement that you are putting aside the California's community property laws and choosing explicitly to have your income and your assets and liabilities be, and that of your wife be separate from each other. You must make an agreement like that. Okay? So if you do that, then the IRS cannot come after her for your tax situation. Okay. And the community property states are basically they're California and southwestern states. They are Arizona, California, Idaho, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Washington, and Wisconsin. If you live on the other states, you're fine. You don't have to do this extra step. But because you live in California, you take this extra step and your wife is protected from any potential tax problem you may have, and you are protected from any potential tax problem she may have.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions, my friend?
No. I'll continue listening now.
Very good. Thank you, Al, for your good question. Let's go to call from here from area code 504. If you have a question, call from area code 504. Please first tell me how you heard about us, your name, and then your question, please.
Hi, Pamela. This is Crystal. I heard about you through following the rabbit hole on Google, YouTube, and all that stuff. I don't quite know exactly.
Oh, what's your first name again? I'm sorry. Let me catch you for you. I can barely hear you.
Crystal.
Crystal. We were with a C, correct?
What?
Crystal with a C or with a K?
C.
With a K?
With a C.
With a C. Okay, very good, Crystal. And how may I assist you, Crystal?
Well, thank you for your work and your courage. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, where I stand in this whole topic. But the original question I have is about what happened with this guy Richard Thomas Grant that he ended up. Like, I read the article online, and it looks like he's doing all of the things that I've been learning to do with, like, using U.S. postal money orders to pay for bills and expenses, utilities. And I'm just wondering, how did he end up going to jail for 3 years after he did all these things that seemed to be right?
Well, because first of all, in 17 years since I started our program, the Royal Freedom Package, a simple Freedom Package, he's the first guy ever that stayed with Freedom Law School and got charged. As many people leave Freedom Law School and get charged because they didn't do the right thing. They did a lot of stupid stuff. You know, I had one guy call me back after, you know, IRS literally, you know, between the IRS and lawyer, they stole $1 million from his lawyer and the IRS, went to jail for a year, lost it all. You know, and, you know, he realized he made a mistake by not staying with me. But Richard Grant stayed with me, but when he comes to get the lawyer, he didn't get the lawyer that I wanted to get. He got another lawyer, which I heard about, a very good lawyer I've heard about. And good things about him. But Richard didn't come. When he came to Florida to visit from California, he was supposed to get to live with me to work with me, to prepare him, to go over stuff, to work together, for to make sure that he and his lawyer and I all work closely together to ensure his victory. Even though the judge let him out of California to come to Florida, which is not common, they don't let you out of state usually when you're charged criminally. And he was only just not too far from me, just a 3 hours or less. He didn't come by see me in a several day trip he had. And throughout the case, didn't work with me closely. He didn't make sure his lawyer worked closely with me. At the trial, I was there to try to help, but his lawyer and I barely talked. We just talked a little bit about things. He was in a hurry. So he didn't do the methodology that Freedom Law School wanted for him to do. And his lawyer took a different tack, a different approach. For me, what matters is, you know, I help people confront the government, the legislature, the lawmakers with the law. Just like Joe Bannister, face the government with the law itself. Show me where I'm wrong, IRS management, leadership. I suggest that you send your congressmen, senators, House members, confirm about the law. He did that. But because he didn't work with me, I couldn't believe that he sat on the stand when he was asked, well, do you expect the government to answer you these questions from you? He said, not really. What do you mean? I expect answers, folks. I expect answers from our government, from my House representative member and senators. I gave the copy of Joe Mann's report to Senator Barbara Boxer, Senator Frankenstein, my congressman Christopher Cox by mail. I went to a town hall meeting locally and they gave another copy of Joe Mann's report to my congressman Cox and talked to him about it one-on-one. Ask him to look at this book, read it, understand it, and investigate this issue of income tax fraud. I expect answers. Because these guys all took an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution. Without taking that oath, they legally cannot take office. They could not be House members, senators, or presidents. So how is it any different when these politicians don't take the oath versus them taking the oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic? And then they go and simply ignore that oath. They step on that oath. They step on the U.S. Constitution. What's the difference? It's the same as them not taking the oath. We really do not have representation in the U.S. government, in the legislature, when these guys simply violate their oath. I expect answers. And I'm working to get answers. But he said that he didn't expect answers from that. And other stuff, mistakes that should have been done were not done. So that's why he lost. He didn't work with me. And I went there at Freedom Law School expense, out from Florida to California back, and testified at the trial to try to help, work with his lawyer. But, you know, look, you can take the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Does that help explain what happened in that case?
Wow, thank you so much, Paymal. And I didn't quite understand with the community property state with the man and his wife, because I have to deal with this too, so I wanted to make sure I understand. The answer to that question was to drop an agreement of liability between husband and wife. Is that right?
Yes, you separate your assets and income. and liabilities. What state do you live in?
California.
504 is California? Okay. Yeah, you want to do that. I can help you. Freedom Laws can help you with that also. But yeah, that's what you can do it yourself if you want to. Yes, you need to separate. It's not a big deal, by the way. I mean, people in New York, you know, people in Pennsylvania, people in Florida, Tennessee, all these other states, that's the way they are automatically. What you make is yours, what your spouse makes belongs to your spouse. So if you file separate tax returns, or one does, one doesn't, it's all your business. But in those 8 states like California, your business is mixed up. If one of you gets in a car accident, both of you could be liable for that damages in a car accident. If someone sues, you know, one of you, they can collect for both of you if they win. So they did this to supposedly protect the wives from, you know, divorce, you know, in case of divorce, which I'm against divorce anyhow. Divorce hurts the children the most. That's why divorce is not a good thing. So to facilitate divorce, that's what they pass those laws in California and those states to put, you know, and then protect the wives, they say. That's what happens. So you want to do that agreement, you know, to protect your spouse, you know, in case they come after one of you, the other one is not liable.
So if my fiance and I signed a prenup, was this included in it? Would that be enough?
Yes, that'd be perfect. You do it before you get married, or as soon as after you get married, it'll be fine. Wife and I, when we got married, we did that also, for example. You know, as a protection. She does something wrong, I do something wrong. You know, we're protected. We're protecting each other. So it's a good thing to do.
Thank you so much, Pema. Thank you for all your work.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Crystal. Let's go to the call we have from area code 941. Call from area code 941. If you have a question, please first give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hi, Payman. It's John from Florida, and I heard about you through the Save a Patriot Foundation a number of years ago. And you have done a number of things on the call-in program about whether the notice of deficiency had been filed.
Has been mailed by the IRS.
I believe that you said that a lien could not be filed if they didn't do a notice of deficiency. Is that correct?
Well, yes, they have to send a notice of deficiency. Certified or registered mail.
I'm in tax court right now with the IRS, and the attorney that's handling it for the IRS wants to remand it back to a hearing again rather than have it go through tax court, which I had asked you what you thought about it, and you didn't seem to think there was too much in the way of downsides. But in the filing of the motion that I just got yesterday, it says that there's no evidence in the record reflecting whether or not a notice of deficiency was issued to petitioners for AMT, liability, alternate minimum tax. They calculated my alternate minimum tax incorrectly. They did a return for me without my authority, and I had already filed one. I sent it to them with tracking from the USPS and all that stuff, and I got a letter back from them acknowledging the receipt of it. And then they filed a return for me and just disregarded my return completely and never acknowledged that they received it. And then in his filings now, he says that I responded a year later than what I really did. And that makes all the difference in the world whether I did something in time. But I've got the receipts from the post office and the acknowledgement from them that I had filed a year prior to what they're saying in this document. So I'm going to deal with that. But I just want to know, can they actually place a lien if there's no notice of deficiency issued?
Unfortunately, yes, they can place a lien, and then they can, and then once you win your collection due process hearing case, John, then they'll remove it. They cannot levy, though. They cannot take your assets, take your bank account, paycheck, commissions, pension, nothing. They can only put a lien on the county recorder's office in case you sell your home or real estate, and in case you have any profit there or equity there, they'll take that. So that doesn't affect most people most times. So yes, they can put the lien on there, but not levy. Levy is when they take your stuff. Lien just sits there until something happens.
Is that lien good? Is that lien only good for the county in which it is filed, or is it good for all the counties in the state?
Practically, the lien is good in the county where it's filed. Practically.
Okay. Okay, very good. Well, I think that answers it, and I thank you for your input.
You're welcome, my friend, John. Keep doing a good job you're doing, my friend. I'm glad to hear that you're doing good well. And folks, John, listen to our level one course and, you know, following the stuff. Folks, you can do it. John does it. You know, education is the key to your freedom, level one step. Whether you do it by yourself or
Well, everybody is listening. I sleep a lot better now that I got your course. Because I know where I stand, whereas before that I didn't. And everything that I've done so far has worked to my my benefit and not the IRS's. So thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, John. Thank you, my friend. And let's go to our next call from here, code 937. Please tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School, your first name, and then your question, my friend.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, what's your name?
My name's Christopher, and I'm from Ohio.
Christopher. Yes, Christopher. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I heard you when I started reading The Great American Adventure and went down that rabbit hole.
I've never heard about The Great American Adventure. What is that?
It was written by Judge Dale. It's a five-part expose on the government and all that stuff.
Very good. Somebody got you looking at a whole group of freedom issues. Wonderful. Good. I'm glad to hear that, my friend. And how may I be of assistance to you, Christopher?
Well, some of the questions I have or have been answered. I received a nod and a notice of deficiency. And through life happening, I got distracted and didn't pay attention to the date. And what happens now that that date has expired?
You mean the date for you to petition or go to tax court to challenge the IRS has passed?
Yeah.
Well, how much IRS claims you owe them for what years? And did you file or not file for those years?
2015, and I filed that year, and it was a insurance retirement fund that was supposed to, I'm on disability, and the it had its own insurance policy to pay the premium, and unfortunately, the doctor that I was with didn't follow through on the paperwork, and I was really sick at the time, so I didn't realize that never got filed. So the plan ate itself up, and then there was a loan that I took out on it a lot of years ago. That whole thing's kind of complicated. I'm still waiting for them to get me a accounting on it, but they say that I received $10,000 and I'm liable for $5,000 tax. And when I recalculated my taxes, well, the IRS calculated my taxes and assessed me for $800, which is weird because that was my return for last 2015. So it would have worked out. I would have had zero, but I was just wondering what happens with the NOD.
How much does the IRS pay you on that? How much?
$810.
Okay.
Which for me is a lot of money.
I just simply wouldn't worry about it right now, my friend. It's a lot of money, but the IRS is peanuts. Okay. It's less than $1,000. So they're not going to come after you all the way. Down the road, eventually you're going to get a certified letter called the Collection Due Process Hearing Letters. Comes to you as certified,
okay.
Return receipt. At that time, you get a collection. You ask for a collection due process hearing. Fill out the form 12153 to request a hearing, and you can deal with this whole thing there, my friend. Okay? You can challenge the tax thing there, perhaps, and or make a payment plan.
Okay. So that, yeah, I don't have a problem actually paying it. It's just that's where I needed to see if I could get a payment plan or whatever. And so do they file a lien on you for that?
If you do file a lien, they'll have to give you a chance to ask for a hearing to challenge that tax and lien in the collection due process hearing. Whether it's a lien or levy, you know, you get after lien, you get a chance at the hearing. Before a levy, you get a chance for a hearing. You will get a chance to meet with the IRS and come up with a payment plan. No problem.
Okay. Okay. And then earlier, there was I couldn't hear the code for your employer for your W-2, where I'm not, you know, I'm not a foreigner, so why are they taking money out of my check? What was that code again?
7701A16. Type in the computer 26 space USC space 7701 and go down to subsection A16.
Got it. Okay, I'll look that up and find that. And then I was reading in the code where it defines, I think it was on your website, Freedom Lawful, about how part of it states the Fed and the state, and they don't define the state. So, like, I work for the county that I live in for the that kind of job. So does that fall under government, or the Fed is the Fed and everything else is kind of private?
I did not understand your question. What falls under government? The first part of your question I didn't get.
So working for the government, that the where they can collect the taxes, I have to be actually in Washington, D.C., or work for the federal government, or be a foreigner?
You can work for the government, still don't owe any tax for your wages or salaries working for the government. The tax, the withholding is only for foreigners.
Okay.
Look it up. Look up the code section I gave you, and it refers to other code sections. You can look read it for yourself. It's all for foreigners.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Yeah, because I want to have them stop doing that. And because I'm still paying in, I have money sitting there from 2016 and money from this year. So will they just automatically confiscate that towards my bill? As in, I paid X amount of dollars so far, and then all I have to do is pay the rest, or do I have to file for that and apply it too?
I didn't understand your question. What do you mean confiscate what? 2016, did you file for it in April 2017 for 2016 or not?
I didn't fill out because I know now that I'm not required to file a federal return because I don't have income by the definition of income. I didn't file, but work still pulled out money from the W-2. So if I want that back, I have to file.
Right.
Can I not offer that and have them apply that to the bill? Or are they just confiscate
yes.
and do it anyway?
Yes, you can. You can. Mm-hmm. You just simply write a letter to the IRS and say, this withholding for 2016, apply $810 of it to the 2015 bill. You can do that, yes. And pay it off, yes, you can do that.
Okay, that's what I want to find out. So they'll send me a letter and I can go through the whole, and they'll kind of be cool about explaining that then?
Yes, a simple letter would do.
Okay. That's exactly what I need to know.
Okay, very good. Very good, Christopher. Thanks for calling, my friend. Glad to give assistance to you. Let's go to our next call we have from area code 301. Please announce your first name. Tell us how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, my friend.
Hello?
Yeah. My name is Bernie. Yes, Bernie. How did you hear about Philip Lawson, Bernie?
Yeah, I ran across your web page yesterday as I was watching some other Patriots websites and information. So thank you for making yourself available. My question is this. I heard you say that IRS cannot change my return. And for this income tax of this year, we file our return and we were expecting some money back. And then IRS sent us a bill instead of sending us the money we were expecting. So they changed our return and that's it. Just send us, hey, you owe us this amount for this reason, and that's it. So how do I reconcile this that the IRS did change my return?
We need to see the return that you filed and the letter from the IRS to be sure, okay? But most often, see, unless you've got a calculation, addition error, or subtraction error, math error, on your tax return, the IRS must send you a notice of deficiency. That simple. So you can ignore this letter if it's something beyond the mathematical math error on your tax return. Okay, or pay it because you've been a mistake adding up your numbers. Without seeing your tax return, I cannot tell you which one is the case.
Okay. Well, apparently our tax preparers say that it seemed like we had an error there, and that's why they just basically did what they did. So it falls in line with what you're just saying right now. Oh, wow. My other question would be, okay, aside from that now is, how do I go about not having to file anymore any tax thing to the IRS? Now that I'm learning that's a scam. But I still don't know how to go about it. How? Because I'm new to this. This is my first time calling in, and I haven't got to your course yet. So I'm assuming that in your course there will be instruction on how to go about it. But if you could point me in the right direction, I will appreciate it.
Sure. Go to Freedom Lawson's website at livefreedom.org, number one.
Okay.
Sign up for a free Freedom Education Package that will be emailed to you, okay, to get that material for free. Two, go out there on the education materials and go to Educate Congress and the Income Tax Reward. Read the Income Tax Reward and Educate Congress, those two at a minimum, okay? And Educate the Congress material is to educate you first, and then send that paperwork in there about the income tax fraud, the misapplication of the income tax on the American people. Go on and send that material to congressmen and senators, your House member and the senators, they're all congressmen together, and ask them that they show you the law that requires you to file the income tax. That'll be your first step, my friend. You could do that also as part of Freedom Law School's Freedom Packages, the Beginner Freedom Package, Simple Freedom Package, or Royal Freedom Package as well. But those will be your first steps, my friend. Number one, educate yourself.
Sure.
And number two, take action. Okay.
Yes, indeed. Well, I have several months until April.
Yes, this is a great time for you to start educating yourself, exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Bernie. Let's go to the call we have from Erica 610. Call from Erica 610. Tell us how you heard about Freedom Law School, your first name, and then your question.
Cheyenne. Cheyenne,
yes,
and I've been following you for a lot of years. Yes, you do have to file your income tax. You can put the income down to zero because you have no income. You can also follow on that form. You can also do your whatever they have taken out on your W-2. And then you can file a form 4052 and get all that back.
Any questions for me, Cheyenne?
Yeah, I just told you what to do.
I appreciate sharing that methodology. I'm very familiar with the methodology of my good co-patriot, Pete Henningsen, who wrote the book Cracking the Code, and that's what I recommend. I'm very familiar with it. I'm also on his email list, okay, to further educate myself. I always want to educate myself from other people and their issues and their research as well. That's been always Freedom Law School's key hallmark. Is I believe
well, the W-2,
you
can
else.
Also do just also
on,
a W-2. If you don't want to go through those steps, you can also do zero and at the end, exempt.
I understand that. The only problem is you should know. You could do that if you want to try get the money that was stolen out of your paycheck back through this process you just explained. I'm very familiar with that. However, be prepared to know that the IRS crooks, the management, has told their people to look out for these Forms 4052s and do not refund based upon them. Do not issue a refund to you. Instead, to penalize you, punish you, $5,000 for every time that you do one of these kind of a 4852 forms. And every time you write back, again, to convince them you're right, they penalize you another $5,000. And I've had people call me with $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 of these penalties imposed on it because of this method. It may work for you, and I know it has worked for some people, and it also may not work, and instead you have more penalties added to your situation. So that's all. If you want to do that, that's your choice, Cheyenne. You're a sovereign, independent, free woman, but know the risks and rewards potentially both ways before you make a decision which way you want to go. Okay? Do you have no questions for me, Cheyenne? So let me go to other people who have questions. I can assist them, okay?
Yes, please.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes.
I do appreciate that, Cheyenne. Give me the opportunity to address that issue for others also. And thanks for calling Freedom Law School again. So let's go to our call from America 424. If you have a question, my friend, tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School and give me your first name only and then your question, please.
Payman.
Yes.
This is Janet, and I've known of your work for 20 years probably, and have used it to free myself, but my partner recently got a notice of intent to lien or levy, I forgot what. And
you mean your husband? You mean your husband?
He's my husband. We don't have a legal marriage license. We're just together. But he's just starting to learn what I've known for a long time, and I need to freshen my awareness because what we want to do is address this notice to require them to verify it or sign it or whatever they need to do. Whatever.
What did they send him? What did they send him? What did they send
him? Pardon me?
What did they send him? For what years? How much they send years? What's the letter?
A notice of intent to levy, I believe, was what it's called. We could pull it out, but notice of intent to levy, saying that he owes them, you know, $1,000, and they're going to, you know, levy if he doesn't pay it immediately. We would like to require them to fulfill due process requirements for cease and desist. What's the simplest way to address that? Ask them to sign it? Ask them to verify it? I mean, what do we do just to get them to stop?
I'm sorry to tell you, I'd be the bearer of bad news. You can not stop the IRS from writing letters to you or your husband. They can write letters to him if they want. So there's no way you can tell anybody, you know, unless you get a, you can get an injunction from other people writing to you, but not to the IRS.
Okay,
so they can write to you, but the issue is, you know, what can you do about it matters. You see what I'm saying?
You know, actually, your voice is a little muffled, so I'm having a hard time actually hearing what you're saying, and I want to hear it. So you're saying that you can't make the IRS follow the law. You can make other people follow the law, but never the IRS somehow?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, good.
What you said was make them not be able to write to you.
Oh, I would just like to challenge them effectively so they have to follow the law and they don't proceed against us without knowing that we are holding them to following their own codes. Because, for example, Payman, I remember reading somewhere in the Internal Revenue Code where any return statement or anything must be signed. Nothing the IRS sends is ever signed. Can we send it back and say it's defective? I need you to have someone sign this.
I'm afraid in that issue, the sellout, crooked, treacherous, treasonous courts have changed the law written by Congress and made it that the IRS does not have to sign these paperwork. So you're going
to
stop them that way.
They don't have to verify a claim.
Nope. According to crooked courts, no. They're
so
supposed to according to laws, which is, so let me finish. What you want is to have them leave you alone and beat them. That you can do, but not the way you're seeing it. Because remember, the law in theory is made by the representatives of the people in the legislature, like in the federal government, the Congress. But in practice, law is made by the crooked judges. They change the law to fit the crooked system they're doing things. They declared that two homosexuals getting married, you know, is marriage. Whereas in America, back in 1800s, they would not let Utah become a state because they had polygamy, multiple marriages between man and several women, which is natural, a man having, with several women having children, versus homosexuality, which is not natural. You see what I'm saying? But the crooked court, Supreme Court, clean out thin air, that the Constitution protects homosexuality, which it doesn't. And they overturn many state laws by a judicial declaration. So that's what I want you to understand, Janet. In America, law is being made today by the judges that don't represent us, you know, unelected. Okay, so you're going to beat them the way you want to by just falling on those things, but you can't beat them. The letters you got, does it say you have a right to a hearing?
It does say we have a right to a hearing.
So you should ask for it.
Can we ask for a hearing?
Within 30 days of that date, ask for a hearing.
Okay.
Okay, fill out the form 12153, you got there, and ask for a hearing. And they claim that your husband only owes $1,000. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not a huge amount, but still, ask for a hearing. And in there, you can say you want to challenge the taxes, you don't believe you owe it, and you will be open to collection alternatives if they can show you owe the money. So on a short conference call, that's the best quick comprehensive answer I can give you without knowing a lot more about your situation. Beyond that, you would have to send me your paperwork and talk to me privately about your situation so I can see what's going on and give you more specific responses. But this case is about only $1,000. So it's not worth
which we don't have.
What's that?
Which we do not have to give them under any circumstances. We don't have $1,000.
Then when you go to collection, due process hearing, that one of the issues you'll bring up, and when they see and verify you don't have anything, guess what? They'll leave your husband alone as uncollectible. He is judgment proof. He is zero. You cannot get water out of rock. It's simply not there. Leave him alone for a year or two or longer because he does not have the money to pay him, and that'll be fine. In that hearing, if you go in there, that will be handled there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that, I guess that sounds kind of like a simple solution. I appreciate that payment.
You're most welcome, Janet. Thanks for calling. Okay, folks, we have one more person with question from area code 630. Tell me how you hear about Freedom Loss to my friend from area code 630. And then your first name and your question, please. Hold on. Let's see. Call from area code 630. Looks like he dropped off. I don't see him on the call anymore. Okay. Well, looks like he's not here to be dropped off for some reason. Call from area code 630. Anyhow, folks, well, it's been my pleasure, folks, to be with you on this call tonight and every Thursday night to help you understand the law and your rights and live free. We covered many issues. The community property states, Pete Henningsen's method of asking for refunds, stopping withholding from your paycheck, collection and due process hearing cases when you want to challenge a tax or have the IRS leave you alone because you have no money. Okay, so these are the issues this week came on the conference call. Every conference call, folks, is different. People bring up different issues, and different issues get addressed. So you make these conference calls happen. I'm going to thank you for contacting Freedom Law School. Again, livefreenow.org is your source for the answers you're looking for, and the calls, conference calls. And folks, together, folks, we can have you live free, and we can take action and have America be a free country once again as well. Thank you for listening to me. Good night. I'll be back with you next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone again. Good night.